parts of God. Well, what time is the day of work? 7?
I think it would be around noon, maybe 1 o'clock.
Can you follow that?
Yes, I think so. I think we'll get a telephone call. It'll be tricky.
Probably, is it possible that he may have to stay there another day? I was just thinking that's,
It's
all the crap he had to do there.
Yes, sir.
Is he having, is someone sitting in the meeting with him on this occasion? Well, I suppose it's all right to get him a little pregnant, although I have no confidence in the man because of his closeness to her. What do you think?
Well, I think he's ambitious enough that he,
Yeah. It's too late now. He's already a little pregnant anyway.
Pretty pregnant, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's showing stuff already.
Well, he hasn't seen the political
stuff. One point out, he would be sure Henry has raised on 2 or 3 occasions his point that, well, if he can't connect him, because it just blows. In order to keep our marbles on the property and the meal and the bombing home on the election. It cannot be that. It cannot be that high that leading out the military at that which can decide to disagree with on the principle. There if anything to be devastating to be a bombing home. Henry should know that, but he's so personally involved in this thing now that he wants to be able to throw this and that and the other out. That's one goodie that is non-negotiable. I covered all the other things with him. You covered that with him.
Yeah, he raised it with me and said when he was going through his, new scenario of going through to Hanoi and then holding it up.
Yeah.
And I said, I said, you can't do that. Once you've done, gone there, then you got to go all the way.
That's right.
And then he got into the other side of it, which was the, he said, of course, we have to suspend through from then on through to when we're down. I said, there's no way that you cannot. That you can't even consider from a political viewpoint in this country. You can hold for a couple days while you're finishing a setup. You cannot hold for an extended period that carries you through the election.
No, sir. No way. Absolutely.
And you cannot.
Absolutely.
He could not survive.
We've done that before. They kill us for that. That could knock the living Jesus out of us.
That's almost the only thing that could lose us the election.
Sir.
And that could.
It's very, very serious. Henry has no understanding. We hold this. The bombing hall. We're against 85. It's the fact that 82 to 18 is a figure. 82 to 18, the highest thing. Now, Henry's got to get it. See, he talks to these goddamn liberals who think about him all this great thing, I think that's
uh-huh.
A big thing. Because he asked me, would it be good to have that before my life? I said, Henry, you can fill the glass. You stay out of the politics. I told him, hell no. I said, a bombing hall is the most devastating thing.
Well, the last thing he told me was that he completely agreed.
All right, said that.
Just so you understand how that
gets in any of put that in the message to him. There's one thing we cannot have, except for the time he's visiting Obama, except for the time he's visiting. Unless there's an agreement.
Unless there's an agreement. Well, he shouldn't go to Hanoi unless there's an agreement. That must be a fact.
That was the other guy, that he cannot go to Hanoi unless he's got
to go up there. Try that too. We hold him on for that. But in no circumstances can he go up to Hanoi. They want me there so much. I said, no, damn it, of course they want you. I didn't say the other. He wants to go. But he must not go there unless it's in the bag. Because I said, Henry, the moment you go to Hanoi, I said, it's got to succeed. There can be no fighting of faith.
Well, and it's got to succeed fast, because the worst time we're going to have is to live with here is the time between Henry going to Hanoi and the time you announce and put into effect the ceasefire.
But anyway, we may not come to this thing. I think.
Hey, our little friend Hugh is very tough. He's refused to see Bunker 2 days running now. He's had his key advisors in 2 days. I think they're going to walk into a goddamn buzzsaw with this guy. And we may have to get very, very tough.
He may be anticipating something a lot worse than what he's been getting to.
He's not going to want a ceasefire in place. These guys around his capital, that's where the difficulty's going to be now. I think the political side will be able to take care of it, and more than take.
But do you think we have to ship on?
Well, I think we do, but I think we maybe find ourselves in a position that we have to hold through the election.
Sorry,
I think a public break.
Well, I think his decision with regard to going there maybe that he has to reevaluate.
Well, I.
Have you conveyed to Henry that you too, Stephens, does he know about the fact that he's refused to see Bunker? He says.
He knows that. He also knows that I've been opposed to the Hanoi thing, and on Sunday I told him that the only circumstances under which he should go to Hanoi are circumstances A, that we have a good settlement, B, that Chu is enthusiastic about it.
Right. And if we put it past the election, I'm not as worried as some about as I indicated about the fact that well after the election, you know, it won't settle as well.
It'll settle because these guys are hurting.
They're hurting, and also after the election, I believe if there's any question about anybody else, that they're going to be looking. They're going to be looking right down the gun barrel. They're going to know it, and they're going to punish worse. That's all there is to it.
On the other hand, I think we know that we've gotten what is necessary for a good settlement. And that itself, the knowledge of that, adds to our flexibility a great deal. I don't think they're going to.
But anyway, you have passed on, Henry, that you see, even going to Saigon poses problems. Because it raises expectations, and it'll look like you turned it down.
Well,
now he's going to Saigon and then coming back here is fine. He said, well, we're just there for the purpose of negotiating, discussing matters and so forth, but it'll leak out.
It'll leak and he's going to have to.
Have you told Henry that you does not trust him?
Yeah, he read it. He saw it in the minutes of our meetings and he read the verbatim text of what you said to me.
Yeah.
It was very clear that he wasn't trusted.
Good. So he knows that as far as his own state there is very, very much. I had postponed now a decision on that Israeli aircraft when he got back. There is no great damn hurry on that. The dynamic Israelis haven't got any other hold of this. And let me say that if they want to, and as far as the Jewish vote is concerned, don't go to hell. And Henry B. didn't put that in there, but I know that's what he's thinking, well, if we don't. We've got to have some sort with the Israelis to get some sort of a settlement here. You give them the damn aircraft plants, everything else, what you gonna do to get them out of here? After this election, we've got to settle with the Israelis, you know.
That's right. Well, I think what Henry was trying to do there, and maybe
to get it all announced if we're gonna give it to them later, we've been doing that. And they get tougher and tougher and tougher. Why don't they get easier?
They're tough now. But I think he wanted to get it in this before the election, so it doesn't look like a new policy of the new administration.
Don't he should not be interested in the election. He doesn't understand politics. There's no reason why he should. We just do what we want. We're going to act as if there's no election at all. If we're not going to be concerned about his Robert Rubino, Joe, Max Baker, and all those people. Hell with it. Jews want to go off.
I think they helped us on this Soviet Jew problem, though. That scheme is dropped off.
That turned up. The point that I was going to say on this, I did probably give him the aircraft thing, but I don't want it to appear, see, from the election standpoint, it looks like a blatant cave to the Jewish community. I would privately tell Rabin that if you like, you call it now, look. The president is sympathetic to this. The State Department, the Defense Department has not put it right down there. But he says if we do this now, that it's going to be a straight election, boy. And it would hurt him. He just doesn't believe that. He says, but you can assure your government that the president is very sympathetic to this, and that they can count on the situation a little bit later. So it would be my intention. got that Arthur Reed, if he wants to screw around, the hell with it, we'll get out of there.
Well, we...
Isn't all that important?
I'll be, by acting quickly yesterday, they took out all this anti-U.S. rhetoric out of their proclamation. They were...
Martial law. Why are they having martial law? Because they can't run their country or what?
There's
we really, you know, David's point about Vietnam also applies to that place. Maybe we should get out of there. You know what I mean? Let's face it. If you want to look at it in those terms, now we can't. We've got to maintain a thin line. Tripwire, but goddamn it, for us to have three, four divisions there, it's ridiculous.
Well, they have to adjust a little bit, I think. We've taken quite a bit out.
I know we have. It's
and we haven't given them what we told them we were going to give them in return for their withdrawal.
We have to give them enough to maintain it. They're still talking to them, aren't they?
They are, but they've had a little setback. And that's probably behind
that. Right. Okay. Now, the other thing with regard to this paper that's over here that we discussed, I discussed it with Bob. The whole line is a buy and something buy. Then instructed Bob, I've given him a command that nothing must leak out of this stuff. And therefore, we have ordered that paper is not to be duplicated and not to leave the White House. Don't say your office, the White House.
And I said that.
Yeah. And he can come over and look at it, but is that not Marshall Green? He's a leader. You know the guy can't keep him from doing it, I guess, but I just don't want it battling around with those assholes over there.
I think it's wrong. We're just not that sure yet. But
that's right. About as far as you go. And that anyway, the paper shouldn't go over. But Bob, Bill wants it. You know what Bill wants it for. He doesn't want it to take it home. He wants it so that they can go over and critique it. And they'll critique it. And by the time you get down to the desk officer and all the rest, first it'll leak. Second, they'll come in with 34 objections, none of which mean a goddamn thing.
Well, they've already.
Well, I know that. But Bill wants to get it down to the other. You know, Marshall Green hasn't had a crack at it, for example. And the desk officer. I know what it is. The same damn thing we went through, frankly, on salt.
Yeah.
And of course, earlier at
Berlin.
Huh?
The Berlin.
Oh, Berlin. Well, we went through it at Berlin, but we also went through it at Shanghai Communicator. Hangzhou. Jesus Christ, I was there. And none of it mattered. I mean, they were doing it simply to prove their manhood. But that's all. But mainly, I just think we could say we just aren't going to have it duplicated or leave the White House. Period. That's a good rule, isn't it? Exactly.
I think it's like, I think at this time it's a
question. He said, fine, you're shit. So I was, but he wouldn't, there was some.
He that's what he was calling about, though.
No, he was calling about the
great
part.
Yeah. In the meantime, Al, be sure you warn Henry that you better get him off the table now, that he's going to. Saigon should be reevaluated in terms of Jews. Or do you think he knows this?
Oh, I think he knows this. Right.
In other words, we don't need to remind him that this has very high risk. Now, if he goes and comes back, he's not going to be fatal. Don't you agree, Bob?
Yeah.
Just the first time. Yeah. He can go, he can discuss it, and he said, well, we're discussing it, and he comes back and goes over to Paris again for another meeting.
We can swing
this, and frankly, he's filibustering through the election.
What's fatal is if he goes to the second.
Well, he can't go to Hanoi. It's all there is to it.
That he cannot
do. Or if he will say anywhere we have to stop bombing, and
there is not going to be any stopping bombing. There's just not going to be now. That's all there is to it.
Couldn't agree more.
Anything else of interest in your shop today?
No, sir. I think these are the key points. Situation on the ground in South Vietnam is good. It's
how many casualties do you have left?
Two.
The last one of the things I told you yesterday, well, it was a sort of a high risk thing to do. It was certainly good for me when I think of what the goddamn things I've gone through here on the tough decisions. I have no support. opposition or silence from these areas, the so-called elections, of course, from the media. I'm not referring to the publisher. Of course, I never speak up there, as I said. The university community. I never mentioned this one publicly. The religious groups. I mean, they've been out squealing and so forth. And the so-called business elite. Those parts never speak up. The only support we've had are from labor union leaders, certain kinds of ethnics, farmers, professional military organizations, a few Main Street type businessmen. And interestingly enough, people like POW Wives. And to walk into a group like that, wives, families, and the rest, look at those poor goddamn people. These other assholes haven't got any stake here in this war. Their kids are all fucking around in Canada. There are.
Exactly.
Particularly the business guys. Now, what about these people? These people have got their husbands or sons in these damn jails, the prisons in Vietnam, 4, 5, 2, 3 years. And all they have to say is, bug out. Get them back. And they don't say that. Now, who the hell's got the character in this country? Who's got it? Listen, I'll tell you what, it makes me ashamed of the people I come from. What I mean is, I'm from that group. Lawyers, business people, so-called superior educations. Boy, I'll tell you, they aren't fit to govern anymore. Not fit to do it. Do you know the time they stood up? You tell me. The kind of people that I mentioned.
Not when there's any crunch.
They come in here.
When they stand up, it's when they see everything.
And I can also say, and I can add to that, the bureaucracy in our own government, including cabinet people who come from that same elite, have no guts.
It's been a remarkable experience to watch this for the last 3.5 years.
Remember the third, Cambodia, Laos, May, just to mention a few times.
November 3rd, they came around.
And they saw it was after they saw
what had happened.
And, but Jesus, when you're making the decision, they were all out there marching around the Capitol with the...
Oh, yeah. And so I'm here telling you, you've got to back off. You know,
back off.
You know, what's there?
There's a Rogers memorandum?
Yeah.
Before the speech. I don't understand. That line up and ran in the Times.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. The Owen Edwards didn't use it, but Ted Schultz ran it as the lead because he thought his feather hurt. And I told Ziegler this morning, I said, now, Ron, I did that quite deliberately. It's a shot across the waters. I don't want to mislead these people. I said, we're going to cut their balls off after the election. I want them to know that I got their number now. Now, I've said this several times.
I know.
And they have never picked it up. Now it's in the Times.
It was picked up in the running story on all the print stuff has made the point. Post has it.
Good.
Not as the lead.
But you know, it's really not their exceptions. In the business community, you've got the elite type like McCoys and those jackasses, and you've got a Don Kendall who's a bomb. But what is Don Kendall? You see? You know what he started at? Crises. Some good humors off a cart. Hell, he's a hardhead. He's got a lousy education. We've got a few with good education that have been with us. Kissinger is the best example. And some of the White House around here. But generally speaking, the tragedy of all this gets back to the educational system in this country. It has made America, the American upper class now, has become like the British upper class. Much worse. I should say, like the French upper class was before World War II. Decadent, incestuous, homosexual.
Well, this is where these guys started.
I spoke that last night was the premiere here in Washington of this new movie, Young Winston, which is the story of Winston Churchill's early days. And it's quite a good movie.
And the young Winston's on my ass.
solving it. But you'll want to see the movie. It's
a great movie.
It's a well done picture. But there's one moment in it, and I couldn't avoid blurting out. And it gets no press or me, and a few people around me did. There's a moment in the book where Sir Randolph, his father, right, resigns as Chancellor of the Exchequer.
That's right.
Sends his letter to the Prime Minister, and then goes to the London Times that same night. And hands the editor of the London Times his letter of resignation. The editor says, no, you must not resign. And he said, well, will you print my letter? I already have. The Prime Minister's already accepted. I have acceptance here. And the editor says, well, you've made a terrible mistake and all that. He said, well, I've come to you because I want your support. I'm doing the right thing and you know. Because he was resigning over heavy military spending. And, right, but he argues that it was right,
I know,
and that the Times agreed with him, which is because the Times was in favor of the government, and the Times did agree with him.
Right.
And he said, I want you then at least to print my letter of resignation. And the editor said, I will not. And he said, why won't you? You've been critical of the government. And the editor stands up and he says, the Times will be critical of the government when it feels the government is wrong. The Times will never do anything to bring the government down. And I blurted out without even thinking, I wish the hell we had a Times like that.
You realize those savage British must be dead. I mean, they stood by a church. Who were the hell of the great press lords here? Well, the lords, because we got the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Daily News, and a few little papers like Copley, and we got a Paul Miller, again, that we got a Mark Day in the Detroit, huh?
The New York Daily News.
I bet you, I think.
And the best of them all, the Orlando Sentinel.
God, that's a great newspaper. The Omaha World Herald ain't bad.
Yeah.
You want to pick a few. Well, what I'm getting at is this. They're not, I mean, do you think Henry would read any one of those papers?
No, sir.
Never.
Because, no,
he won't. And he won't see anybody from those papers. You know why?
They're not.
Because they are the ones that the Georgetown people think are the better class. There is the snobbish elite. You know the reason. Let me tell you the reason they mainly are petrified at my getting it, why they hate my guts. It of course goes back to history. Mainly it is this: I'm not one of them, and they know it. They know it terrifies them and distresses them that I get along with the Meanies and the Fitzsimmons and the rest.
That's right.
It terrifies them.
Sure.
That I can get in these veterans leaders who are a little bit inarticulate, that I can go down there and a big Mexican woman will give me a bracelet and kiss me. It's a little embarrassing, but nevertheless, you know what I mean?
That's right.
They can't stand that.
They couldn't face that kind of thing.
No. But you agree, Bob?
Yeah.
That's true of the class generally. And that's why we're going to stay, because that's what this country is, what made this country. The country's still strong and good and decent, and a hell of a lot of 55,000 Americans are down 6 foot deep.
Well, they think they're being devastating when they characterize you as having middle class moral values and
right.
Being a square and a lower middle class, lame patriotism and
right.
You know, and the bank is a man and the E of G and you know all that stuff to get abusing to me.
It's not so. What really irritates them also is that they know that from an intellectual standpoint, that most of them are not in the lead as far as background and so forth and so forth. You know what I mean? Why? Because they can understand a dime, let's face it, Goldwater was very smart. McCarthy was very smart. I mean, you know what I mean? But by being smart, they never at least demonstrated in school. And these people also have another thing. They judge everything in terms of IQs, what school did he go to, not so much Americans over there. So, well, if you do agree about it, they say, well, there must be something wrong with the son of a bitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
He went to school that's not like us.
Didn't fit the template.
You got a point? Went to. Boy, I love school. I swear to God, we haven't done much, but it's going to be done in the future. When you get over there to the army, I want you to kick him in the ass. conclusions about that environment and the change. It's all inheritance. But there are a lot of good people, you know. You look at, I did last night, a football game on television, and you see two great running backs for Detroit, the two great running backs for the other side, and the two great running backs for Washington. It's all black.
All black.
God damn. Very good. The quarterbacks aren't. Southern Cal get it. The leg or the arms and legs especially the sensation. Well, I suppose I could go on a sign. Sorry. I don't think that poses that much of a problem.
No, we have to do this. We have to
second's fine.
Communicate with this guy.
That is good. Let me say this here by Al. If he doesn't settle now, the most important thing I said was at the end of the conversation with Abrams. If this man does not cooperate, is not reasonable with us now, he has seriously eroded the support and friendship he has from a man in his office. Now that's what he's going to see. And he ain't got any other choice. And by that I mean that after this election, he either caves or he's out.
You agree?
We cannot just go along to win his war. You agree?
No, this is our differences and objectives are now beginning to crystallize, and it's unfortunately he can't achieve his without us.
I only wish there's some way that Henry can come back and we can say we're going to delay till after the election because of the election discussion.
I'm sort of confident that that's the way it's going to come out. Maybe
I want that said. I want that to be public. I mean, I want it to be delayed, but I'd like for somebody to say, well, we'll put it out in some way. So the reason we do this is that we just cannot negotiate in this election atmosphere. Start finally into an election, we're not.
Or run it right through and say the election is, it means nothing. We're just going to keep going. So that no one can say that this has influenced the talks. And that's the position you've taken thus far, and I think it's right.
I know Henry's concerned, too. I mean, it's understandable. He's come this long way. He's fought this battle. He's done a brilliant job in China, Russia, and he's panicked to put this third star in his ground. And we wanted to go there. But you can't pay the price that, or risk it, but anyway, we'll get the third star. But of course, Henry knows that it's not after the election. This is it's all like anybody could do that. Not really. First, we had to win the election. Anyway,
do you think
Henry's got the word?
Yes, sir, I do.
What are you going to say, first?
Well, I'm just going to say, I think we've got it, and we take our time and do it right. And if we get it before, that's fine.
Right.
If we get it after, that's fine, too. We just don't have
any. Keep it very much about the bill this week. Reason I accept with everything. I've got to work with this. I'm on the domestic stuff right up to my IT. I've got to get two detours that I've got to go through. Crammer around that political thing. So I'm not going to be able to spend like we're getting an order amount of time.
Yes, sir. I know.
This last week. So just don't bother me with it. You handle the bill. If any bill calls, say, look, you've worked on the water veto, the speech and the water bill, and also the Social Security veto. Just got to kind of, until Congress gets out of here, let's just postpone it.
Right.
Good. You know, in one sense, Al, I'm so glad I had Abrams here yesterday. I wanted to see him anyway. But it was the day he was sworn in. There was the paper this morning of Abrams. And so forth.
That's great.
Al had a parade.
And I went over to this reception last night, and everybody was so pleased because you had had him in the...
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Great. The Lost Church looks good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, bang, takes command and takes off. Went out there.
Yeah, let's get out to where...
That's right, that announced?
Yeah.
Good. Okay,
good.
Nobody will ever know how much he's done to keep this ship afloat.
So he shares. I don't know how much he's told you, but he made a point of spending quite a long time with me yesterday, and personal complexity. And it boils down to, he shares your view, has a stronger, more stronger opinion than you do, that what you have at work here, a very strong internal motivation compulsive that has nothing to do with the parents and the kids, and that there is a super fundamental insecurity. And to make notes of this, prior to your private file. Okay, I kind of
very important.
Henry does want to make peace. He does feel it has to be done before the election. And that's the one thing that worries Al. And that.
The thing that shook him though was
that girl.
The little girl was holding this, which was good.
Well, interestingly enough, and it's an indication of the thing, because I raised this with Al, and he jumped on it before I got started, but Henry and I had a discussion last week somewhere about the problem of replacing Al, and Henry said that he'd been giving some thought, and would it be possible, and would I object, if he considered the possibility of moving Scowcroft into that position, which incidentally I think would be a superb idea.
I agree.
But I said, I saw a chance.
And also, Guskars, I mean,
right.
First is unimportant, second is important, second got brains, so forth. First, he isn't quite the best man.
He's the right guy for that job, but he's intellectually, he's too far. He doesn't belong in that kind of a job. He is
way ahead of you as an election.
That's right. He is Higgs. At least takes equal intellectual.
Sure.
And on personality, he's low-key and,
right.
And solid enough that I think he can take all the shit, which is
right.
Important. I got into quite a long talk with Henry that led into it about that. And Al said afterward, he said, you have no idea the change, instant change in Henry's attitude toward me and toward all of doing this stuff that talk had. And I said, obviously not because he gave a shit about Scowcroft, but only because it implicitly in that talk was my confirmation to him that he was expected to stay on after the election. And Al said, that's exactly right. And see, Henry, he fishes for stuff like that. He sort of fished with me about post-election stuff, and I've never confirmed. And, you know, he said, you don't need to tell me
how to ask.
Whether he's, you don't need to tell me whether I'm going to say or not. I said, Henry, I can't tell you whether you're going to say. I don't know whether I'm going to say. And that's something that can't be and shouldn't properly be discussed until the time comes.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Lastly, please call me Ralph Maris. Ralph Maris, M-A-R-I-S-O-N. Would you mind if they had any minutes?
Signals now be, you know, you're doing the right thing and we're with you. It's all, he's going. sit down and say, he hasn't. And,
well, I didn't understand, I can't. So, there yesterday morning, I sat down, and really, 2 days after, no, going over all the things, saying, can budget not with all this way, not go. But if I have total confidence in him, just have these things in mind, and I do whatever it looks like, I have confidence in some marvelous feel. And I put on a nice dinner, and give you this, and say, you're not old enough to get the airplane. So, he'll probably have a few jokes about that.
That's the part, but that, you couldn't have done the right license to the board, to the right thing, because that.
He needs this.
Yeah.
He has to know, he needs to know that, that failure is not, it's not the only. Not going to hurt the election, but not going to hurt as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And I also said, I said, whether if it fails, I get this responsibility. You know, if we were, I said, if it succeeds, great. But I said, let him lose, it's all right. It's been a great effort. That's one of us.
Because that'll, that's, that'll make him do the right thing a little better.
Exactly.
And that's Alex, Al just was asking for, you know, my help and just making sure that, not with you, but that rumbles don't develop out of here, that you, Henry, at the end, he's under pressure and all that sort of thing. And that,
good.
I think Al's point is, as long as he believes he's coming, that he personally is coming out all right, but regardless of how he settles this, he isn't going to be pushed to try and prove, to deliver a coup that maybe would be delivered at too great a price.
I know.
And Al's worried about that. He's worried, as you know, about if we get the settlement 2 weeks before the election, how well we can, keep it moving together for 2 weeks. Because they've got,
my personal feeling is this, I know everybody's going to say it would be great and everything, and I think it would.
It would.
It would. We all know that.
But Bob, but you don't need it.
Well, we've got to do the right thing. And also, while it would be good, the risks are enormous.
That's right.
Just enormous. We talk about high risk thing and going over and speaking to a few people that have lives. What the Christ? That's nothing compared to this.
That's right.
And that's why you don't push it to the risk.
That's really the point. Al comes back. He says there's a possibility of it all falling into place, a good settlement, agreement by two, and being able to put it together. If we get that, we should move ahead with it. Because if we get that, it will stick together.
Al is taking an Abrams view, which I went in directly with Abrams. I said, let's forget the election. It's real. I said, do you think this is a good settlement? Abrams said, yes, they ought to take it. I said, all right, if you feel that in good confidence. I want you to go there as an advocate, not as an observer. Not put the problem and down and tell them to stick on it and hit. Anyway,
well, Hague still is afraid of the bloodbath thing, I think.
Yeah, I know. Could happen. It's been a long war.
But
I don't think it will.
The other thing I have been concerned about, Al put pretty much to rest, the thing that's bothered me in this is that if Henry goes to Saigon and two doesn't go along, then our pattern, our agreement, our understanding as of now is if two doesn't, well, then the North Vietnamese blow it. Then Henry comes home. But the North Vietnamese then probably anticipated Henry coming to Hanoi have been canceled, rebuffed. And
they go public.
And we're hostage to them, they go public. Al's point is on that. If that's what they do, then it's because they don't really want this settlement anyway. And they'll blow it, they'll use that as an excuse to blow it. If they blow it on that excuse, then the odds are pretty good that they would have really screwed us after the settlement anyhow.
Well, the point thing that I wrote in on that, I said the greatest danger if two goes, I said that could I said the second thing, the danger on the other side is the North Vietnamese Republic. But I said on that point, I said I think you can obfuscate it so much in your own briefings that it would wash out as an issue. I really think that's true. Let them go public. And then Henry goes public and says, oh, they did this and that, and they insisted on this. Just say it. but we really don't need